For WILL, I'm Victoria Shepherd, and this is Mid-American Gardener, where we love to talk about anything connected to gardening in central Illinois. This week in Studio A, I'm joined by Kent Miles, owner of Illinois Willows, a specialty cut flower grower located in the Champaign-Urbana community. You will often find Kent or his flowers at the Urbana Farmers Market and local stores, and if you're lucky, you'll hear some of his wonderful advice on the Mid-American Gardener TV show, where he regularly joins the panel to share his wisdom. I am therefore very lucky to have him with me today to talk about his favourite subject and several of the questions he often gets asked by friends, family and customers. Hello, Kent.
Hi, how are you doing?
I am doing great. Thank you so much for coming in today. Now, you've worked in agriculture for many years, but what made you decide to start growing flowers suitable for cutting? I mean, what was there an aha moment?
Yes, there was. I guess backtracking a little bit in my life, I grew up in a small community and my mother had a very large garden with vegetables and fruit trees and things like that. So I was always either playing baseball or helping her in the garden, kind of talking about, you know, kind of grade school age. Mm-hmm. And so I always enjoyed, you know, picking cherries off the tree, apples, picking tomatoes, green beans. Wow. Snapping green beans. What a childhood memory.
We had French beans in our house.
Yeah. So jumping forward to more current times as an adult, I went to the University of Wisconsin for botany for a couple years and decided this isn't what the direction I want to go in. So I went over to Danville Community College at the time and took the horticulture program there with the floral design emphasis. And that's where I kind of got the bug, the flower bug. Mm-hmm. Not the bug, but the flower bug. And so went through that program, worked on a couple internships in Chicago and New Orleans. So I kind of got the big city thing. Mm-hmm. And then my last internship was student teaching. And that was interesting, the teaching part of it.
What did you like about teaching?
Showing, telling how it's done, showing how sowing seeds and you're going to, a couple weeks, get plants, and then from plants you get flowers. So I think just the education part of showing and teaching has always been an interest, you know, learning, having others learn from what you know. So jumping forward, bought some property in Western Champaign County and decided that my hobby as in my 20s and 30s and living in town with growing flowers, I wanted to do it on a larger scale. So bought property in the country, and we have, the farm has changed in a lot of different ways over the years because I always had an off-farm job and a farm job. So about the last 6 years, I've been on the farm full-time. So that's how I make my living, is selling flowers and floral products.
Now, what drew you to cut flowers and what makes a flower special to be a cut flower?
Okay. Well, in my earlier job career, I was a floral designer. I've been in the floral industry as a designer or shop owner over 25 plus years. So when I started to deciding to grow flowers, I wanted to pick flowers that I, as a designer, would enjoy using in making bouquets and design work. I remember when I lived in a smaller community north of here, the whole backyard was either allium or white liatris. And I sold them to the flower shop I worked at that particular time. And then the wholesaler that we as a flower shop bought from was interested. So I sent them samples. They liked it. I figured a price. They liked it, which probably is too low. But that got my foot into the door as far as selling to Midwest wholesale houses. And so deciding what we're growing every year, it does change. I generally try to decide on flowers that, one, have a long vase life, ones that will ship well, because not all flowers ship well, and then also longevity, if it's an annual or is it a perennial? Is it what do we call a woody ornamental, like a hydrangea or winterberry or bittersweet? Is it a short term where it's just a 1 year thing, or is it like a 5 to 15 year plant?
Now, in general, do our annuals better for cut flowers or perennials? Is there a
as a combination, really? You can do annuals like celosia or sunflowers or zinnias. A lot of those types of flowers you can repeat cutting throughout the season. Mm-hmm. It's not just a one cut.
They keep on coming back.
Yeah, keep on coming back. So perennials, you have those come up every year, like say peony, maybe perhaps iris, things like that, bulbs. So you can harvest those every year.
Now, I did hear, and I read somewhere, that Meghan Markle was going to have peonies in her bouquet. But how do sunflowers, mm-hmm. particularly for bridal bouquets, mm-hmm. I remember I wanted hydrangeas. Mm-hmm. And it was so hot where we were, the florist was like, yeah, it's not going to be. Mm-hmm. What is a good flower for a bride to put into a bouquet in central Illinois, for example?
Well, it depends on the time of the year she's getting married. Mm-hmm. If it's May, peonies are fabulous for here in Illinois. Peonies are going to be hard to find in August, September, October. In the winter months, they're going to come from New Zealand or Chile.
And peonies actually ship okay?
Yes, they do.
Oh.
And there's also, speaking of peonies, there's a large cooperative up in Alaska. So Alaska peonies start coming here to the Midwest generally in August, September is when they get their peonies because their season is later than ours. Mm-hmm. So as far as a U.S.-grown flower, peonies can generally start anywhere from April all the way through September. Other times of the year, they'll be brought in from overseas.
Now, do you, for yourself, do mm-hmm. you have a particular growing season in Illinois? I mean, mm-hmm. do you use greenhouses year-round? Mm-hmm. What is your...
We do have cut flower seasons generally February through November, sometimes the first part of December, depending on temperatures. Our other season, which would be woody ornamentals, which could be like curly willow or dogwood, mm-hmm. things like that. Winterberry generally runs November through generally about March, April. So we have product 12 months of the year. We have hoop houses. We have a shade house. We do field production for the majority of our cuts and woody ornamentals.
My mother she does flower arranging in England. Mm-hmm. And then when she came to visit here and she saw we have a lot of hostas, mm-hmm. she's like, when you start learning how to flower arrange, mm-hmm. hostas make brilliant foliage.
Oh, absolutely.
Do you agree with that?
Yeah. In fact, we offer 4 or 5 varieties of a cut hosta foliage.
Okay.
So we bunch them, 10 stems in a bunch, and they're in the blues, greens, some of the more emerald colored, some of the very two-tone colors. So we offer hosta foliage.
You're doing good, Mom.
Yes.
Well, we've received a question from someone. In particular, they're asking about when to grow, what is the season for growing plants. Mm-hmm. Georgia had sent in an email. I wondered if you could perhaps talk to her question.
Yeah, it looks like she's lived in Western Canada. And she's asking about, I used to grow Icelandic poppies when I lived in Western Canada, where summers are cooler. And I love the jewel-tone, tissue paper-thin blossoms. I'd like to grow them in northwestern Indiana, evidently is where she's living now. And I don't know if they would survive the hot summer. When do you suggest seeding them in the garden, whether that be pots or in beds? And able to enjoy them for at least a while in springtime. Very early spring, she says, this question. The package says it takes 180 to 300 days to bloom.
That's a lot of days to wait.
Yes,
to get
it
fulfilled,
is.
Right? Yeah.
Keeping fingers crossed that nothing happens. Is there anything else that I should know about growing them? Poppies and anemones and ranunculus will grow here in the Midwest, Champaign County.
Even Icelandic poppies?
Yes, even in northwest Indiana, they'll grow. You are going to, it is those three poppies, anemones, and ranunculus are kind of all grouped together because they all grow about the same time. They all have about the same requirements to grow. And they are a early spring planting crop. So you're going to basically use bulbs and corms rather than seed.
Okay.
The seed is where you're going to be looking at the 300-day thing.
And then you would perhaps have to grow them inside right
correct,
here.
Correct. Yeah. So you're going to, overall, it would be better to try to source out corms or tubers for those types of crops.
And I guess you can buy those online, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or do most, garden centers
most,
have
most
them?
Most larger garden centers will have them. You can buy them online. There are bulb companies that would sell straight to the public. So just probably a general Google search.
Okay.
So with regards to bulbs and the tubers and corms, you're going to want to probably start these in February.
And you can just get the sort of the sticks that you bend,
the hoops,
right?
Yeah, the hoops. The hoops, yeah. Yeah, and then just you can just take some clear poly and make like a little tiny mini greenhouse for them. Because all of these are not going to get over 2 foot in height, so you don't need a real tall structure, just something maybe about 3 foot tall.
And now she mentioned that, so the summers here, you don't mm-hmm. think they are too hot for them?
They are. Actually, you're going to have them in a blooming range from end of April to about the 1st of June. Because our summers, just like this year, has heated up so much, and they are what we call a cool crop. So that is like a late winter, early spring crop.
And they don't re-bloom then? So
you can. It does take a little work.
With a little bit of homework.
Yes.
Georgia could get them to come back again later in the season.
Yes. But they kind of basically, the foliage on all of those plants kind of just yellow up when it gets hot and the blooming stops. So that's kind of the short season.
Now, what about growing them in pots and putting them in pots and then bringing them indoors when it starts getting
heat? Yes, you can enjoy them indoors. Like the poppies and the ranunculus work very well that way in pots.
Okay. So Georgie, you could get your Icelandic poppy enjoyment.
Yes, you can.
That's great to hear.
Yeah.
Are there any, if someone comes to you, I'm sure you get asked it a lot. We have this garden and we love cut flowers. What sort of flowers would you recommend that would grow well in central Illinois that someone could then cut and still have a beautiful garden but have flowers indoors?
I would probably go with an assortment of annuals and perennials. Your perennials are going to bloom in specific times, like mid-May to mid-June, June to August, you know, that type of thing, where you're going to have it spread out through the whole summer. And in between those times of your perennials, you can have annuals. And a lot of annuals, such as zinnias, you can cut those, and then they're going to regrow. So you'll have continuous blooms throughout the summertime. Sunflowers and things that are going to be a little taller that you would put, say, in the back of a border of a flower bed. Generally,
they grow extremely tall.
They can, but you can get them anywhere from dwarfs in the 2 foot range all the way up to the large, I'll call them monsters, because they can get up to, you know, 10, 12 foot high.
Right.
So it kind of just depends on what you'd like for your garden. And you kind of want to do a stair stepping where you have taller in the back and stair stepping down to the front of your beds with some shorter material. Some flowering shrubs would be very nice to be worked in with your cut flowers, such as hydrangeas or peonies. Those will give you a lot of interest. And also I would suggest maybe some grasses, different colors of grass foliage. They have a lot of interest during the summer. And then once we get fall and winter, they do have winter appeal with the dried blossoms, seed heads, and things
What kind of grasses would you recommend?
Oh, any type of like miscanthus or panicum generally would work for our zone here. You just kind of decide if you want a solid green leaf or you want a green and white leaf or you want something with horizontal bands on it or something in a bluish green color foliage.
Now, all of these plants and flowers that you're recommending, are any of them that might be poisonous to pets if people have them in the house, if they ingested them?
Yeah, I do get questions, especially when I'm at the market, and people who have cats. It seems to be mostly cats.
They do.
I am a cat lover, but my cat's more of a outdoor cat. What I recommend is contact your veterinarian. The veterinarians have a list of all the poisonous or toxic plants.
Well, that's a good idea. I mean, it's hard when you love beautiful flowers, but you have these little critters that just love them too.
Yes.
Or too much.
Too much.
So we also had, and I don't know, a question about roses from Donna. Would you be able to help Donna with her problem and knock out roses?
Yeah, Donna's in the Moments area, which is up towards Kankakee, and she lives in the country, and she gets a lot of wind. So I can really relate to what she's saying because I'm in the country with a lot of wind. She says she's got a row of knockout roses on the south side of her home. Every spring, we have to cut the dead canes out that didn't make it through the winter. We like the roses to grow in height and width, but with the dieback, they haven't been getting those requirements or the sizes that she wants. What can we do to prevent this from happening? Heard that styrofoam rose cones aren't good to use. Is that true? Yes.
And in case you didn't get that, Donna, yes, they are not good to use.
Yes, they are. I don't know why. They always came out with the rose cones for roses. But basically, they trap in too much heat. You have to prune that rose back so it'll fit inside that cone, which personally you're probably going to cut back too much of the rose.
Okay.
You're going to be cutting those canes down, and it's not the best way to keep roses from year to year. Basically, what people have had issues with the rose cones is that they don't take them off soon enough. They leave them on too late. And in April and May, when temperatures can get up in the 70s and 80s, it's going to be a lot warmer under that styrofoam cone. And you're going to get issues with botrytis if it's starting to leaf out. You're going to get more viral issues with...
And you mentioned botrytis. Jim Schuster was here recently. Raving about it, loves talking about things like that.
Yeah.
But for people who don't know, what is that and what does it look like if your plant is looking unhealthy? Okay.
First thing is the discoloration in the foliage. Some plants are more susceptible to it than others. It kind of falls in the same thing as powdery mildew and things like that, where it affects the appearance of the plant. Doesn't necessarily going to kill the plant, but it's going to cut back on the foliage appearance. Mm-hmm. It's going to cut back on the blossoms as far as the beauty of a rose. But generally, it's a discoloration and loss of foliage.
But it doesn't necessarily kill the plant. It's just unsightly.
Unsightly, and it does affect the number of blossoms from year to year, especially like on a peony. And peonies are notorious for botrytis. Basically, botrytis happens because too much moisture and temperature where you're getting too much water sitting on the foliage.
So if it's been particularly rainy spring and you've got them covered, they're getting hot and it's causing it to go
And when your peonies start sending up the foliage stems, you can get botrytis if we get, you know, a rainy. This year we didn't have a rainy April.
But boy, are they making up for it now.
Yeah. And the peonies are done blooming, so that's good.
Now, if you grow hydrangeas,
yes,
right?
Yes, we do. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this weather, this terrible rain that we've had the past couple of days.
It's fabulous.
It is fabulous.
For hydrangeas.
It is fabulous. But our hydrangeas have literally gone, they have just all flopped.
Sure.
What do we do for that? Do you stake them? What do you do?
Depending on what type of hydrangea it is.
I want to say Annabelle.
Okay, I went out this morning and some of my, what I'll call the mop heads, the traditional round colored ones, have kind of flopped. But before I came, I looked at them and they have kind of bounced back.
Okay.
So you can do a couple different things. You can stake and use twine, and you're basically going to encircle the plant or plants. And
all the way around.
All the way around.
Okay.
You can use like bamboo stakes. You can use stakes maybe from a garden center that are metal, with they're poly coated and they're green, so they're not going to stand out in the landscape. You can use a natural, like a jute twine or some type of a string, not necessarily a little cotton string, something a little bit more substantial.
Mm-hmm.
And you can just put your stakes around and then tie, depending on the size of the plant, you know, something maybe about knee high and then maybe one more a little higher.
Okay.
So create
a little fence around
yes,
it.
Yes, so that if you get the hard summer rains or wind, they're not going to flop on you. Because once, say, the Annabelles get their nice, big, huge blossoms, they all hold water. And any type of a wind or hard rain, they're going to do their thing.
They are doing that, as is our oak leaf as well, which is huge, but that's kind of just... Okay, so we will fix that the next couple of days. Mm-hmm. Now, speaking of hydrangeas, though, when is the best time to cut a hydrangea from your yard to bring it into the house to enjoy it?
Okay. Hydrangeas, you want to, it's kind of a touch. And after a touch type process in determining when it should be cut. Hydrangeas... whether we're talking like the limelight, the more of a conical shape, or if we're talking the round mop heads, you know, the pinks and lavenders and purples and blues, you want full color. Generally, you're going to start off green with the edges starting to color up. That would be a more of an immature blossom. You want all of the florets on that flower head to be all colored. And you can go ahead and just take your index finger and your thumb and just kind of touch the flower heads. You can take your hand and go over the top. And if it feels nice and firm, and or if it, with regards to the finger, if it feels, the blossom feels kind of leathery, where the floret has matured on that blossom and it's not going to wilt on you. When you get them at that stage, then you can go ahead and cut them.
And how do you do? Is there a? Can you cut them straight across? Do you cut them at an angle? Is there a technique?
You can generally do both, but overall, if you can cut on an angle, right above a set of leaves, because if you cut right above a set of leaves, at that juncture, you're going to get a new growth coming from it. So. And also depending on how long you want to cut them. So you just want to cut them early in the morning, 7, 8, 9 o'clock before the before the morning sun gets on them, or cut them later in the evening, 7, 8 o'clock at night when it's cooler. You don't want to cut midday. It just puts too much stress on that flower. That's it's going to take a while for it to get some water. If you're out, cutting, or if you're taking a bucket of water with you in your garden, which would be the best thing to do. And then you want to remove any foliage that will be down in your vase or in your bucket. Mm-hmm. The foliage just starts creating bacteria, and the bacteria then affects the water uptake. So after you say you've cut an armload of hydrangea and you're bringing them into the, say, the kitchen, and you want to go ahead and put them in a vase. Mm-hmm. You want to remove any, like I said, any foliage that's going to be below the water level. And if you have some floral food, it used to be called preservative, but we don't really want to preserve the flower. It's, you know, so it's flower food, which is nutrients that help maintain the color after it's, because when a flower's cut, it starts to lose color. It doesn't maintain that color the whole time it's in a vase unless you have some extra nutritional.
Right. Now I heard, can you make your own flower food with sugared water or someone? My mom used to put lemonade or seven up in it.
Basically, it's citric acid. So if you were to look at the little packet of flower food you might get at a supermarket or a florist, basically, it's citric acid with some holding qualities. But yeah, the old fashioned, you know, some 7-Up or lemon lime soda pop,
right,
works good.
Great.
I don't know if I'd go with that old wise tale of the put a penny in it, though.
Oh, I don't know that one.
My grandmother told me about that. Oh, we got to put a penny in the vase.
Then when you find it at the end, you can pick it up and have good luck all day.
Yes,
maybe that was where it was.
Yeah.
Out of all the flowers that we've talked about, or even maybe it's another one, mm-hmm. if you were a cut flower, what would you be, Ken?
Goodness,
and
goodness gracious.
Why?
just one?
Hey, if you've got a couple. But
yeah,
I would
have a couple.
Okay, give me a couple. Give me a couple.
Okay. Okay, we'll take our name. We have in production 12 different varieties of willows. Willows would probably be number one.
Why, though?
I love using them in design. They're long-lasting. They'll dry, so you can keep them in your home. I still am very fond of sunflowers. Mm-hmm. We're growing a couple different varieties of white ones this year.
Really?
Yeah, we have one that's going to be a white with a dark center, and then we have another white one with a green center. It's just a little more unusual color for a sunflower.
Definitely.
And so we're really anxious to see what these.
That's good. Something to look out for because, you know, and especially children seem to be very, that's the first mm-hmm. thing that you can get mm-hmm. a child happy or excited about, right?
It represents the sun and it makes you smile.
And they grow fast as well, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
So for impatient people. So thank you so much for coming in, Ken. We whizzed through that and we ran out of time very quickly.
Wow, that went so fast.
I know. I could continue talking about that for a lot longer. Very interesting. As always, I learned something. So thank you to you, listeners, for joining us for yet another fabulous episode of the Mid-American Gardener podcast. Mid-American Gardener is a production of Illinois Public Media. This episode was produced and hosted by me, Victoria Shepherd. Executive producer was Lisa Broltz. Find us on the web at midamericangardener.org, where you can stream us as many times as you like. This and past episodes are also available on iTunes, Stitcher, and the NPR One app. Subscribe and rate with abandon. And if you have any gardening questions for future inclusion on either the TV show or this podcast, email us at yourgarden@gmail.com or message us via Facebook or call us and leave us a voicemail at 217-300-8224. Thank you again to Kent Miles with Illinois Willows. And the Mid-American Gardener podcast will be back in a couple of weeks with yet another gardening whiz. Thank you very much and enjoy, hopefully, the drier weather.